This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
FGV is convening an extraordinary general meeting, or an EGM, in 2 weeks' time on November 27th at Manara Felda to resolve the impasse over its directors' fees. Now, if you remember back in June, its key shareholders, so Felda, KPF and LTAT, all shut down the proposed fees tabled by FGV after a grueling five-hour AGM.
That's right. In the EGM, the company is seeking to endorse the following motions: slashing the non-executive chairman's board fees in half from 600,000 to 300,000 per year, and trimming down the payments to the non-executive directors to 1.1 million for board fees and about just under half a million for board committee fees.
They'll be also revising the benefits of the non-executive chairman, including the removal of the option to utilize the company car, entitlement to home security, option for escort and escort vehicle, reduction from two personal bodyguards to just one. Oh, it seems that there were quite a lot of benefits.
Bodyguards?
I didn't know about.
Why would you need a bodyguard?
Maybe because it's not doing so well, this company.
So the removal of entitlements to leave passage of 50,000 ringgit per annum, and the removal to the entitlements of one mobile phone every 3 years. So the previous AGM did see the company proposing fees payable to the chairman totaling 1.95 million ringgit and a total of more than 5 million to the rest of the board. So this was vehemently rejected by the shareholders, as fees were relatively high considering this is a company that has suffered nearly a 1 billion ringgit of worth of losses last year.
Yeah, it's clearly quite a lot of money. I'm surprised actually by how much there was in the previous package, and I can kind of get engaged as to why the shareholders were so unhappy with it and maybe voted it down at the five-hour AGM. Because the salaries is one thing, but the benefits is another, and all these benefits, there is a monetary value and cost to it, like the bodyguards.
Yeah, I mean, cutting down from two to one bodyguard and also reducing your motorcade when you travel and use of a company car, all these are excesses. And I would say kudos to whoever the minority shareholders are to vote against this kind of thing. And it's a step in the right direction for corporate Malaysia and corporate governance, and also activism from minority shareholders. I think EPF is one of the major minority shareholders, owning just under 2% of the company. And we see that over the last 5 years, of course, even though the share price has jumped by a quarter in the last few months or so, but the signs are not very good from a share price perspective over the last few years, because you see the share price has just fallen precipitously from almost 6 ringgit to right now 120 something, right? So EPF is actually losing quite a bit of money here.
Well, the rise in the share price has been very much driven by the CPO price increase, right? I mean, we did see CPO prices kind of hover below 2,000 earlier this year, and now we're even hitting 2,005. And I think the forecast for 2020 is even more optimistic. So no surprises there in terms of the share price improvement. The question is actually FGV as a company, are they improving? Are they doing things better on an operational level? That includes things like extraction rate, yield. Are they doing better things in terms of their plantations, using fertilizers more effectively? Are they reducing costs? Because at the end of the day, CPO, everyone is a price ticker. It's a commoditized thing. So you need to also improve your efficiencies at the company level. And that's when you really think, huh, I'm going to pay the CEO a good salary based on that, not where CPO price is.
And the company has also said before that they are looking to bring in a strategic equity partner in order to help their sugar operations under MSM Malaysia Holdings. And there were rumours circulating back in September of Tan Sri Syed Mukhtar potentially buying over a 20% stake in FGV. So some of the reports said that Felda might review its land lease agreement with FGV, which they entered into in November 2011, which saw 351,000 hectares of Felda's land leased to FGV for 99 years. And in return, they had to pay an annual fixed lease payment of about 250 million ringgit, as well as a 15% share of the operating profits from that LLA land.
Yeah, I mean, and if we look a little bit further at the FELDA also, I mean, it's something that the government keeps on looking at, because there were issues when, you know, some of the FELDA settlers, they actually took loans to buy these FGV shares, right, which did very badly. But in the meantime, even in Budget 2020, Finance Minister announced the government allocating 810 million ringgit for the welfare of the FELDA community. So you're looking at 250 million for an income enhancement program, 300 million to write off the interest of the settlers' debt, a lot of it in relation to taking the FGV shares, 100 million for the FELDA water supply, 70 million for housing of new generation of FELDA settlers, and as much as 90 million for upgrading FELDA roads and basic infrastructure. So the Economic Affairs Ministry also said they're looking to inject more than 6 billion ringgit of financial aid in tranches to FGV to cope with this increasing debt.
But nevertheless, there are some analysts who have said that the worst could be over for FGV, with CPO futures enjoying the rally, climbing to a two-year high yesterday. And the Bursa Malaysia Plantation Index has reflected this trend too, showing a 6.5 increase just in the past month, so outperforming the broader market. So the broader market, of course, was up 3% during that same period. But also taking a look at some other local stories this morning, ahead of the Tanjung Piai by-elections over in Johor this Saturday, candidates have been reminded by the Election Commission on the new ruling that campaigns require police permits for their campaigning. Now, the EC has said this includes door-to-door walkabouts, which is also considered to be a form of campaigning. EC chairperson Azizan Harun said that walkabouts should have their times and locations made clear for monitoring purposes.
Yep, this is also being said by the EC officials that they have met with the Pontian police chief to coordinate and ensure that the campaigning conditions are enforced. Johor police chief Muhammad Kamarudin Mohamuddin told the Malaysian Insight that this measure was to ensure that no untoward incidents occur when supporters from opposing parties meet at the same place.
Yeah, and just to recap, there are six current candidates. Kamini Sardini, who's from Pakatan Harapan, Datuk Sri Dr. Wee Jek Seng, Barisan Nasional, Wendy Subramaniam Gerakan, Datuk Dr. Badrul Hisham Abdul Aziz from Berjasa, Dr. An Chuan Lok, who's the independent, and Farida Aryani Abdul Ghaffar, who's also another independent.
So quite a lot of opposing sides to manage there in Tanjung Piai. And since the campaign period started on November 2nd, the EC has already apparently recorded 90 election offences committed during the campaign period. They've received 31 reports related to issues brought up also during this by-election campaign. So it just goes to show that we still really haven't learned our lessons when it comes to election campaigning. Even considering the fact this is by-election number what, 6, 7 by this point since GE14, I've honestly lost track. We just don't seem to learn. We see the same election offences committed every time one of these rolls around.
Yeah, that's right. I think one of the big questions is where do you draw the line between handouts and bona fide government allocations? For example, there were two cases, one in which a free Cellcom prepaid SIM cards were distributed to those attending the PH talk on November the 8th. And MCA President Wee Ka Siong said that the action was done openly in front of police and EC observers. So is this a kind of handout, or is this a proper government allocation?
Well, that wasn't the only thing that they did. Apparently, 1,000 cash aid was given to the fishermen, and this was announced by the Johor Menteri Besar Datuk Dr. Saharudin. He announced it, the cash aid, on November 6th. Now, the Menteri Besar defended the aid, saying that it's not an election offence. He mentioned that this is aid will only be paid after the election.
Yeah, so there were several projects announced in the Tanjung Piai constituency in the month of August, including things like installing street lamps, upgrading futsal courts and jetties. And the Prime Minister, Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad, and Home Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin all came out to say to defend the 14.7 million ringgit allocated for projects in Tanjung Piai, because they said that this was the request of the incumbent Tanjung Piai MP Dr. Mohamad Farik before his death. The question here is the timing just too convenient? You know, how much would it cost to hold off on these allocations until after the election period is over? I mean, it's not going to win you any political credit, but it's going to make you look a little bit better, right?
The other thing that they perhaps could do is all this was allocated before the elections, the person making the announcement should not be the Menteri Besar, should not be the Pakatan Harapan government officials. It could perhaps be a neutral government servant.
Mm.
You know, just saying like, okay, this is what you're entitled to because this is something we decided a year ago.
Someone it shouldn't not be ad hoc. Yeah. It shouldn't be just yesterday, oh, we're giving you some SIM cards or some money. It should be like a proper decision that's being made.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.